want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus. I want to welcome each one to this part of the service. I'm glad you're all here. I'm glad this morning that we have our children here. And you know, maybe today it looks like kind of a long day to some of you little ones, younger ones. There's no Sunday school. But you know, we're glad you're here. And it's important that you're here. It's an opportunity. And it's an opportunity for you to ask your parents, what does it mean? What are we doing today? And you can listen and catch a lot too, I believe. Maybe all of you that want to, up to 10 years old or wherever you're, maybe you can stand up and let's sing Jesus Loves Me together. And the parents can help us too. So if you children want to stand up, and those of you that can and want to, up to 10 years old or so, let's sing Jesus Loves Me and let's have our parents help us. We'll start that a little higher. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. All right, you can sit back down if you want to. Okay, this morning we have heard a lot already, been challenged. And I trust our reason for coming here this morning, I trust we were looking forward to the service. And, you know, what you get out of the service is really up to you. It's really up to me as an individual. You know, what am I coming for? Who are we looking to? If you want to turn with me to John chapter 1, I want to read a couple of verses there. And I pulled the title for the message out of this passage. John chapter 1, starting at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Behold, the Lamb of God. And I trust this morning, that's what we're here. That's who we're looking to behold. That's our desire, is to behold the Lamb of God. Now today is as it's been mentioned, is a special day set aside to commemorate what Christ has done for us. If we look at Matthew 26 there, it says, As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Can we picture this morning a little bit? You know, we have pictures of the Lord's Supper that we see, and I don't know if that's the way you picture it, how it all took place, all the details. But this group of people, this group of men there was a tension in the air. There was change. There was things happening. Something big was going to happen. Have you ever been in that place when you see the weather, something is strange? Maybe the animals are acting funny. There's an apprehension. Something's going to happen. And I think that may be a little bit the way it was at this time. And you know, he came. Jesus came. He was there with them in person. And then he left them. It was huge. It was a time of, say, things completely turning upside down. But you know, as we look back, it's clear, it's wonderful, it's beautiful. And I think to them too, Jesus made it clear to them. I mean, they could look back and see it, see what was happening. But do we today, are we looking, are we in a little bit the same place? You know, Jesus came, he's coming again, he said he would. Are we sitting here with apprehension, waiting for that day? That really it is going to happen. He is coming again for his bride. As I think of today, the service today, and I think of communion, my mind went back to the Old Testament. If we go back to Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Already pointing forwards to that day when Jesus would come. And in Genesis 12:3, he says, In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That's a promise to Abraham, speaking of the coming Messiah. And all we know that blood had to be shed to cover for sin as soon as man fell. You know, Adam and Eve, to be clothed, there had to be shedding of blood to get the coats of skins for them. We see Abel sacrificing the firstlings of his flock. You know, there's a line of blood running all the way through the Old Testament, pointing forwards to Christ. Hebrews 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. If you want to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, I'd like to pull some verses out of here. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. In the first part, he's giving them instructions on how to find the lamb, what the lamb, the criteria for the lamb. He also told them that this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It's going to be the first month of the year. I think that's a beautiful symbol of a new day, a new beginning, pointing forward to the new beginning when Christ would come and give his life for mankind. Maybe we'll start reading at verse 11 there. And then, talking about the lamb here, and then shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. In verse 17, And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. Go to 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. On the 10th day of the month, they were to take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And it was to be a lamb without blemish, a lamb without spot. And they were to keep it 4 days and try it, look and watch it, make sure it was a perfect lamb. We see here the picture of Jesus, a time of testing, trying he went through before his crucifixion. Pilate says in John 18:38 that he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him. And in chapter 19, verse 4, he says, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Verse 9, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. In Matthew 27, 19, Pilate's wife said, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? Judas said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. The thief on the cross said, This man hath done nothing amiss. The centurion said, it says, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. They could find no fault in him. Hebrews 7:26, For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. Jesus, the spotless lamb, behold, the Lamb of God. Well, here in Exodus, they were to kill this lamb. They were to catch the blood in a basin. They were to take a bunch of hyssop and dip the blood, and dip it in the blood and strike it on the lintel and on the two side posts of the door. The hyssop was a type of cleansing. In Psalm 51:7, it says, Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, putting the blood in the basin wasn't enough. It had to be applied to the doorpost and to the lintel. Now, death is universal. We're all condemned to die. You know, there's nothing that we could do about it ourselves. There's no way we could atone for ourselves. Hebrews 9:22, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. So Christ dying for us is not enough. You know, many would say today that they believe that Christ died. He shed his blood for us. But, you know, that blood must be applied. They were to apply the blood in verse 22. And it says, None of you shall go out of the door of his house till morning. They were responsible to see that their families were inside those doors. You know, there was nothing more important that night than to have the blood sprinkled on the door. and on the lintel, on the doorpost and the lintel. It was nothing. It was something that could not be done the next day. It was too late. It would be too late. Just curious, how many firstborn do we have here? I'm one. How many are the oldest in your family? Those of you that are sitting in the front maybe can't see, but if you, and if we have younger ones that probably aren't raising their hands, maybe, but just imagine that night. Just imagine the effect and the realization. I believe they had the opportunity, because we know there were those that the Egyptians that did take that opportunity, that did put the blood on the doorpost. But you know, for those that didn't, the opportunity was passed. It was over. But today, it's up to you. Jesus has given himself. He has given his life. He has done all he can. The decision is yours and mine today. At later Passover feast, they were to tell their children before their families, before they ate the Passover lamb, that this was a symbol of their deliverance from Egypt. And how the houses that had the blood applied to the doorposts and the lintel were spared. You know, and I believe that's our responsibility here this morning as parents. It's our opportunity. Is it precious to us? Is it a day that we look forward to? You know, this lamb was to be all eaten. And what wasn't was to be burned. It was a type of a complete sacrifice. Christ is not divided. No bones were to be broken. And just as no bones of Christ were to be broken when he died for us on the cross, it typifies, you know, our entire surrender to Christ, to the Lamb, and also our undivided union and communion with him. You know, none of this lamb was to be kept for another meal. They had to eat it with bitter herbs, typifying or in memory of their bondage in Egypt. And so we need to remember what Christ has done for us. To be broken, remembering what we have been delivered from if we've had the blood applied to our hearts. Verse 11 there says, "Thus ye shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." You know, what all... There's a lot that we could pull out of this. But I think, you know, the one thing is, point with when we feed on Christ, we'll want to forsake sin. We'll want to shake off the old bondage. Get out from under the dominion of Pharaoh, a type of Satan. Egypt, a type of the world. You know, why is it that we struggle so hard sometimes? You know, why is it that the things that the world esteems highly have such a draw on us? Hebrews 13:13 says, "Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." I think he's saying here we need to sit loose to this world. There's no future here. We have to be willing to forsake all for Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And when we look at things in the light of eternity, they take on a different perspective. You know, there was nothing more important that night than to have the blood applied to the door. And we can't afford to wait till tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. You know, we don't have the promise of a last-minute opportunity. We can't afford to wait. We notice the blood was to be applied to the doorpost and to the lintel, not to the threshold. It's not to be trampled on. Hebrews 10:29 says, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." If we turn our back on God, we're trampling on the blood of Christ. The blood sprinkled on the doorpost and the lintel was what saved the children of Israel from that death angel. The blood applied to our lives will also save us from the wrath of God, the curse of the law, the damnation of hell. You know, there was no one exempt. The palace didn't protect them. The dungeon didn't exempt them. We are all condemned to die. There'll be no one exempt. And we can't imagine what a horrible night that was for those that didn't have the blood applied. There was not a house that wasn't affected. And I'm thankful today that we don't have to be in that situation, that we're not living in the old dispensation where we have to be offering continually to cover our sins, but that they can be washed away. The blood of Jesus justifies, it redeems, it reconciles, it cleanses. You know, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." The blood of Christ justifies. Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." The blood of Christ, the very foundation of our faith. You know, it's a word that's probably not popular in nominal churches today. But you know, if it were not for his shed blood on Calvary, the pouring out of his life blood so that we can have life, we would be without hope. Is that precious to us? Or do we take it lightly? Justified, the making just of one that has been unjust. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works. Nay, but by the law of faith." Remission, a release from a debt, a penalty, or obligation. You know, he took what we deserve. Justified by God's free grace, that is mercy. By faith in his blood, we can be forgiven. We don't have anything to boast in, like Brother Steve shared with us this morning, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:29-31. You know, man is not just pardoned and set free from the penalty, but in the power and wisdom and love of God is made a righteous man. You know, that can only be done through the precious blood of Christ poured out on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The blood of Christ redeems. Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Redemption, you know, the definition of redeem is to atone for human sin, to pay for the sins of humanity with the death on the cross. You know, in Bible times, slavery was very common. And it's been said that maybe up to half the people were slaves at this time. Men were constantly being bought and sold, regardless of race and color. But when a man was held in bondage as a slave or captive, you know, his family or some kind-hearted friend, if he had the means, could redeem this man with money or precious stones. But Christ paid the price for our redemption. Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You have to think of that song that says, with each drop, 10,000 souls have been set free. And you know, that's just saying it in a way that we can kind of comprehend it. It's so much greater than that. The blood of Christ cleanses. You know, at first thought, this seems strange. Blood cleansing. And we generally think of blood as staining. If we get blood on clothing, it makes a stain that is distinct and deep. It's hard to get the stain out. It's a stain that evildoers hate to leave behind. It's often used as the evidence of guilt. Blood has also always been the stain and evidence of guilt. Ever since between the first brothers there. But the blood of Christ, instead of staining, washes out the stain of sin. The stain that has been there since the fall. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't that wonderful? White as snow. And how great is the wonder-working power of the blood to those that in faith receive him and trust him. It's been said that the greatness and sacredness of man's soul is attested by two facts. First, the creation of his soul in the image of the eternal God. Second, the price that has been paid for the redemption of his soul, even the precious blood of Christ. You know, what does it mean to you and I this morning? Will you follow him who has redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ? As of a lamb without spot, without blemish. In 1 Corinthians 11, and this is, Brother Joe often quotes this, and I love to hear this quoted as we share communion together. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. You know, I think it's so beautiful to be able to get together as a body of believers and to share. You know, we come together, we've all got our own personalities. We've all got our own talents, gifts, but we can come together as one and share. You know, as the and I believe as the, the the juice has been pressed from many different grapes, as the bread has been, as the wheat has been ground for bread to be made. You know, it doesn't take away our individualities, but it brings us together to where a type of what the church should be, working together, something, a common goal. It's a beautiful type of what Christ wants for his bride. You know, the Old Testament saints, the patriarchs, went by faith. Their hope was based on the coming Messiah, the Savior. But we know that he came, he died, he rose again. And now we're waiting for his second coming, his coming again. And what a blessed time that will be for those that have applied the blood. And I just want to leave this with you this morning, and you know, if that's not the case in your life, don't wait. Don't put it off. You know, today is the day. There's still opportunity. Let's stand for prayer.